Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And I want to take time to thank our sponsor, Gear Up Sports, a youth sports platform focused on solving the uniform and apparel headache for coaches. If you're a youth or high school coach and need some uniforms, player packs, please contact them at www.gearupwithus.com and make sure to mention the R&R CatCast. Thorny, we got a treat today. We just got done talking with Coach Tyler Walker, the new offensive coordinator for your Montana State Bobcats. It was a good one.
Exciting interview. I think this will be a good piece of content for those of us, all of us Bobcat fans out there looking for something to kind of chew on here as we're in the offseason, as we're approaching spring ball. We asked Coach Walker about all sorts of questions, the tight end room, recruiting, quarterbacks, Jody Owens. We went everywhere. It was fun.
All right. Well, let's get right into it.
Let's do it. Here's our interview with new offensive coordinator, Tyler Walker. All right, Bobcat fans. Well, now we have a special guest. We have the newly minted offensive coordinator, Tyler Walker, joining us tonight. Tyler, thanks for coming on the show.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. It's a good opportunity to get on here and talk some Bobcat football, so I appreciate you guys having me.
I think it's that time of the year where we're all starting to itch for a little bit of content, some news, something substantial. So we had signing day yesterday. I don't know if we want to talk about that. We were just talking before we hit record. Didn't even think about the fact that it was just National Signing Day. But yeah, let's get some good content out here. Let's get a nice interview for the Bobcat fans out there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yesterday was a good day. You know, we had a lot of dudes that you know, we had our eyes on that we didn't get in the early signing period. So we got you know, finished it up. You know, our staff been nonstop this contact period trying to get some guys that's going to continue to help us. So no, we feel good. Feel good about our class. So you know, we are almost to that cycle where, you know, those sixth and seventh year COVID years, those guys are kind of cycling out. So whatever normal is now in the recruiting cycle, we're getting closer.
That's good to hear. It's wild to kind of watch the recruiting cycle go on the Twitterverse and whatnot. I can't imagine what it must feel like to be a coach. I know you started for Montana State as a recruiting coordinator. And we'll touch on that. But first, I guess, just like, how'd you come to Montana State? What's your story? Kind of give us your background on, like, I know you started over in Ohio as a player, but give us a little bit of background on your coaching and how you got to Montana State.
Yeah, I played, I'm from Hamilton, Ohio, and I played at Bethel University in McKenzie, Tennessee. And I did that for a few years. And then, you know, I came back and I wanted to be involved in the game. And I just thought, hey, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go to Miami University. I'm going to get a degree in special education. I'm going to coach high school football. And that's what I'm going to do. But, you know, as I, you know, coached high school football for 5-6 years, as I was going to school, I wanted to coach college ball. So Chuck Martin got hired at Miami, Ohio. Had no idea who I was. I was the guy that kept showing up that was just always out there. And finally he was like, who the hell are you and what do you want? I started volunteering there, and then I became a GA, and that's where I met Taylor Housewright, our previous offensive coordinator, and I had known him previously, because we're similar age, you know, knew who he was, had met him before, had similar friends. So we were both GAs at the same time. So obviously from there, you know, his path took him, you know, through a few other places where he met Coach Vegan. I kind of went a different route. I GA'd there at Miami for a couple years. I went to Davenport University, a Division II school in Michigan, and coached receivers, co-special teams coordinator. Then I went to a high school there because our staff got let go. So I coached another year of high school at Grand Rapids Catholic Central, won a state title, and substitute teached in Detroit. And then I went to Muskingum University in Ohio, where I was the special teams coordinator for a year. Then I was the defensive coordinator for 2 years. And then out of left field, Taylor Housewright calls me and says, "Hey, Coach Vegan," who I had met one other time at a clinic. He said, "Hey, I think he's getting this job at Montana State." And I'm like, "Where the hell is that at?" I'm like, "Man, I'm the defensive coordinator, man. I don't know if I want to do it." He's like, "Come on, I need you. If something happens on the field position, we'll take care of you. You know, we'll give you, you know, the director of recruiting title. You'll work hand in hand with me, with the quarterbacks. And something's going to happen. Something's going to pop, and you'll get a spot. And as soon as you do that, you'll get that position." So that's how I got here. It was knowing Taylor. And then as far as, you know, coaching experience, I had done a lot of things, a lot of different positions. So I had faith. You know, obviously I enjoyed being the defensive coordinator, you know, doing my own thing, but I also knew that Montana State, had a tradition of winning football games, was a great spot and a great environment, at the top of the FCS. And I knew that I had faith that we were going to win some football games and things would just shake out. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It worked in this case. So, you know, it's been an awesome experience here the last 3 years. And, you know, my wife and I have a kid in Aspen who's almost a year and a half, and we have another one on the way. So it's been a good journey, and we're looking forward to, you know, this next phase of, you know, our time here at Montana State.
And now you are the offensive coordinator for Montana State University, one of the most scrutinized positions in the entire state. Are you ready for that, man?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy it. You know, I think that having been and called offensive plays, you know, at different levels, been a coordinator, it's all three phases of the ball. I want people to, you know, have pride and have expectations, in the Cats. You know, that's what makes this place appealing. And that's why players come here. That's why coaches come here, because they know there is a standard, there is expectations, and people are going to let you know, and that's okay. Because no one has higher expectations, for our football team, our offense and myself than we do. So it's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, when you first got here, you started kind of as a director of recruiting. Tell us what that involves.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was a way to obviously, you know, get me here, in a position where I could contribute. They hadn't had one. Montana State didn't have a director of recruiting position.
Yeah.
Prior to me getting here. So yes, did I handle some recruiting? I did. You know, I would say that I was, a little more involved, you know, in the offense than, you know, it seemed. I didn't, you know, we had another recruiting, department person, so to speak, and Ryan Weiss, who's with the Chicago Bears now, but it was him and I, and I really, you know, focused on the offense. It, you know, Taylor was a first year coordinator. He needed someone that he knew, that he trusted. You know, I sat in every single meeting and sometimes, you know, pretty much, you know, went hand in hand with him on offensive game planning, along with our other coaches, but working with the quarterback. So, you know, to sit here and say that I oversaw the entire recruiting effort, that'd be stretching it, you know, because I had other things that I was focusing on. It was really implementing the offense that we were putting in at the time. And then helping where I could, you know, where I was allowed to, you know, being an off the field guy. I sat in the box. I was in the press box right next to Taylor for 2 years. It was yes, director of recruiting, but I would say more offensive assistant, to be specific.
So just a little bit more on the recruiting. I was just wondering, what does it take to get a guy to come to Montana State? How does that process go?
Well, the good thing about recruiting to Montana State is it helps that, you know, we have some of the best facilities at this level. We have some of the best fans at this level. We have an unbelievable, you know, academic, you know, representation across all phases, different majors. So when I go to recruit guys here, it's like, hey, you know, obviously we're competing against Mountain West teams. You know, we don't lose too many guys to FCS schools, and we're looking for the most competitive dudes on the planet, guys who love the game of football, guys who want to come somewhere and be a part of something, who are mentally and physically, you know, tough. And they kind of answer the question for them, you know, hey, do you want to go somewhere where there's standards, where you're going to be held accountable, where you're going to not have an opportunity to compete for a national title year in and year out. And if that's something that you want to do, then we're on track with being here, because if that's something you don't want to do, then you can go to a lot of other places. So do you want to go to a low end FBS school in the MAC? And I just say that cause I obviously went to Miami and coached there, but you're going to win 6 games. You're going to play in front of 5,000 people and you're going to go to the Good Daddy Bowl. That sounds terrible. You're going to play in front of 30,000 people. You're going to win, you know, hopefully 15 football games, and you're going to compete for a national title. So, I mean, it's do you love the game of football and do you want to be a part of something special? And the guys that we're going after understand that, you know, there's a FCS, FBS, whatever. They understand that when they come to Montana State, you're going to have great support. You're going to have great fans. You're going to play in front of a lot of people who care about football. And you're going to have an opportunity to get a great degree. And in the meantime, you're going to win a lot of football games and compete for championships. So recruiting guys here, it's a lot different than some other places I've been. Like I mentioned, we're trying to find the very best football players that, you know, love the game and the most competitive dudes on the planet. And we're recruiting against the Mountain West. You know, we're not recruiting against, you know, any, and this is no disrespect to any of these other big, you know, big sky schools. We're just at a different level. You know, we're just at a different level. And that's why the expectations are at a different level, because of what we have and the, what we think, you know, about ourselves and some of the facilities we have. So it's a fun thing to do, to recruit Bobcats.
Is it kind of a case of part of the biggest challenge is just getting them to Bozeman on like an official visit or a recruiting visit? And then once they're here, they realize, kind of like you, like, where the hell is Bozeman? Where's Montana State? And they get here and like, oh, okay, I see it now. I see why.
Yeah. That's so, you know, the biggest question I get is, you know, are you guys by the TV show Yellowstone? And is that what it looks like? And,
oh, and I'm, damn it.
And I'm like, well, you know, man, there's not a bunch of horse and buggies rolling around here. I can promise you you won't even know the whatever perception you have of being out in the middle of nowhere in the giant state of Montana. It's not even like that. And there is some eye openers, especially with, some of the guys that we're recruiting. So, you know, I would say our footprint, you know, my specific area, Southern California, you know, I have San Diego, into San Bernardino County, you know, the IE. So a lot of those guys, in that area, some are familiar with the Big Sky, just with some of the Big Sky schools being there. So they're familiar, and a lot of our games are on ESPN Plus and some national televised games, and they understand that, you know, and a lot of the coaches down there understand that we're big time football. So they know. I would say there's, you know, some of the guys that we get from Texas and some other places and spot recruit the state of Ohio, obviously, because a few of us were from there. They really don't know until they do get there and they fly in. They're like, whoa, this place is ridiculous. From a facility standpoint, from a people standpoint, from just what we have going on here, it is an eye opener. And we don't lose too many. If we can get them here, our hit ratio is pretty good.
Yeah, I bet that's what I remember. Our previous coach Jeff Choate would say that, like, just get them here. I can sell it. Just get them here.
yeah, well, we get them here. We are pretty good because you're going to fly into here, or you're going to fly into Pocatello. I mean, you tell me, we don't lose too many.
I got one last question about recruiting here before we move on to something else. How are you selling the indoor practice facility? Is that something that is helping with recruiting?
Yeah, the indoor, you know, it's huge. And to be honest, it's, we are selling it. You know, we have the BAC, and they're building the scoreboard right now. I look outside my office and there's two giant holes and they're putting up big pillars.
I can't wait for that thing.
It's going to be humongous. It's ginormous. And then, you know, getting renderings of the new indoor, and it's huge because it right now, I would say it's, for us, we're going to use it when we need to use it in the fall, but it's for right now when our guys are throwing. We need, you know, we, in the last 3 years, we're trying to find times to throw in the bubble or throw in the brick, trying to find times we can off, you know, our guys can go in and throw and work out and run and change the direction and morning runs. You know, there's snow on the ground right now. Not that we still can't get out there, just, you know, how efficient are these workouts going to be? And with the indoor, they can go in there at any time. They can throw anytime we get good workouts. In the fall, are we still going to practice outside? Probably. Yes. Yes, it is. Probably. Because outside of a handful of teams, you just can't, you know, manipulate, you know, the environment when you come here. We're still going to use it when need be. But that indoor, it puts us right up there with, you know, these Mountain West schools. You know, we have everything that we need. You know, the goal is to win national championships, and that's what it is. And now this is just another piece that's going to help us and help our players get to where we need to be.
All right, Tyler. Before we jump into some of the OC conversation, I want to jump back a little bit into the tight end room. And you had your hands deep in that room. Obviously, you were the coach. You lose Snell, Pickering, some of Montana's finest tight ends in the last probably decade. I mean, it looks like a deep room. It looks like you have four returning. You guys signed three different body types, big dudes, strong dudes, fast dudes, blockers, inline, you name it. I mean, a couple questions on that room. How have you developed such a deep room in? Seems like you like demand excellence from those guys. And then kind of like the back end of that question is, what have you learned in that room that's going to help you as a play caller this season?
Yeah, the tight end room, and I would say this, I was always a receivers guy. You know, I played quarterback, I played receiver. I was a receiver guy, but the longer that I had been coaching, there was something about the tight end room, you know, it's very, very similar to being in the quarterback room. We're the only room who has our hand in just about every fire that there is, you know, whether that's pass pro, whether that's running routes or in the run game, inside run, 7-on-7. We're a part of everything, and I want to be part of everything. And I want guys who want to be a part of everything. So with Snell and Pick, you know, I was very fortunate. Yes, we're with Snell, first team all conference and an all American, and Pick was first team all conference. Yes. But those dudes are really good football players, so they made my job easy. But what we did was, you know, we set a standard in there of just what we're trying to do each and every day. You know, we're trying to get, you know, better each and every day. We're trying to be a complete football player, understanding, you know, from a defense perspective, understanding defense, understanding offense, understanding leverage, understanding where the defense help is, you know, different things like that, incorporating, you know, the run game, taking pride in our blocking, taking pride in blocking on the perimeter. And then as a weapon, you know, I often say that those tight ends are the best offensive weapon. And I truly believe that, you know, knowing that you have a couple tight ends on a football team that can be in 12 personnel, flex out to 11 personnel formations. I can get one in the backfield. One's running it. Now he's throwing it. Now he's motioning as a defensive coordinator. That was brutal, absolutely brutal, because you just don't know. The tendencies are out the window. And when you have guys like those two dudes, it really played into that role. And losing those two guys, yes, I'd love to have those dudes every single year. But I think the big thing is what we did was continue to develop each and every person in that room, you know. And offensively, you know, we talk about all the time that we're going to be a high percentage, fundamentally sound unit, you know, with aggressive schemes. We're attacking opposing defenses and being disciplined, being consistent, being unselfish. And those guys in that room did. And in particular, you know, Ryan Lonergan, he, a Bozeman kid, Snelly goes down, Lonnie steps in, and the drop off from an athletic standpoint, obviously Snelly's very athletically gifted, but Lonnie held his own, and because of that, you know, that attention to detail and us double repping and us doing some things, he ended up helping us win football games because he could get in there. So, you know, and Lonnie's going to have a big year. You know, he's going to have a good spring. He's going to have a big year. Looking forward to Lonnie stepping up. Obviously, we had a transfer that signed with us midseason, Rohan Jones from Maine. And, you know, he's a very similar body type. He's a 6'2", 235-pound body type. He's going to wear 8. He's going to look like a Derek Snell. So yeah, we're going to try to utilize him. Very similar that we have done, and that doesn't take a genius to figure that out once we got him. And then Hunter Proviance, for the redshirt freshman, the 6'5 kid from San Diego. He's a long, gifted route runner, long levers, good ball skills. You know, has the ability to be attached and help us in the run game. So I expect him to, you know, continue to develop and continue to help us. Ryland Schlepp, another Bozeman, you know, Bozeman kid from Gallatin. He has transformed his body from the time he got here till he's now. I mean, he's 6'4", 245 pounds. He looks like a Trayton Pickerington. That's who he looks like. So I'm, you know, we're trying to, here's the recipe. Okay. So let's go out and find these puzzle pieces and let's find them and put them together. So there's always a body type. When we were looking for a tight end, you know, were we looking for, you know, the 6'5 kid, 240 pounds. That's great. That would play at Wisconsin. At the time, I didn't need that. I needed a Derek Snell. So we were going to cross and find any way we could find someone that could replicate what he did. And when you have those type of guys in the tight end room, it changes how you do call football plays. You know, it really opens some different doors, what you can do from, you know, motions and shifts and formations and run game and even the pass game and the RPO stuff. And it helps our, you know, the complexity in our offense is from the presentation. It's not so much from schematically of what we do. It's how we do things and how we present things, and having those tight ends certainly helps to do that. And I would say if you went back over the last 3 years, you know, we, you know, I think off the top, I think we're 32-9. A lot of the times, you know, our tight ends have been very, very effective in the run game and the pass game. And, you know, in different trick plays or different things we've done, they've been right there front and center. And I don't see that changing. That's just kind of how our offense rolls. The offensive line drives the bus. The tight ends certainly are sitting there co-pilot. And then obviously our skill guys are executing in space. So yeah, I've been very fortunate, you know, to have really good players, you know, in that tight end room. And I think that, you know, I think the guys in there that are going to be, you know, playing this year, the, you know, the eight guys that we'll have are just are continuing to develop, and the drop off from Pick and Snell hopefully doesn't drop off too much.
Well, when one thinks about Montana State football, you know, in the last couple of years, it's pretty clear that Montana State innovated through the two quarterback system. I have a little bit of a theory now, especially since you've been hired, that we're going to innovate through the tight end. 11 personnel, 12, 13 personnel. And you were just hitting on that. And like, I think my theory is solid now, listening to you, is the window dressing that we can give that defense is get their head spinning. And plus, we got all those body types, like you said. We got the big guys, we got the small guys, we got the strong guys, flex them inside, outside. Am I on to something there? I mean, you don't have to go too much more into it, but is that what you're thinking too?
Well, I tell you this, I tell you, we, you know, from an offensive philosophy, you know, it is always, you know, it people say it all the time. They're like, hey, you know, think you want to think players, not necessarily plays. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, we want to be able to offensively control and dictate the tempo and keep it simple. And like I just mentioned, you know, look complex, but schematically, our guys playing at a high tempo, get our speed and space, you know, be unpredictable down and distance, field position, personnel formations, play selection, you name it. We want to be able to do that. And we utilize a limited number of runs, a limited number of passes. But when you throw the window dressing in there, there's a lot, and what we're trying to do is create mismatches from a personnel standpoint, get our guys in the best situation to be successful, and however that may be and whatever that takes to do that is what we're trying to do, because we really do, not only in the tight end room, in the quarterback room, the receiver room, the running back room, we have a lot of really, really good football players that, you know, they just need touches and get those dudes in space. And we could have a super, super, super successful throughout the year. So it's players. It really is. It's players rather than plays. You know, when you have really good players, you can do some of that stuff. And the number one goal in our coaching staff, you said, hey, what's our number one goal? And it's, hey, we got to do whatever we can to put our players in a position to be successful. We got to keep it simple, and we got to be great teachers. And once we can do that, they roll out their Saturday and they're playing at a high tempo. Their execution is at a high rate, and they're not thinking. Then, you know, that's when that new scoreboard is just lighting up like crazy.
Absolutely. I love to hear it. I got one last question on the tight end room before we move on to something else. Do you think Derek Snell is a NFL guy?
I think he is. You know, I think Derek Snell is one of the, you know, most gifted, explosive football players that I've been around from all levels. He does some things that you just can't coach. You know, I think, you know, obviously he didn't finish the year last year. He, you know, he had surgery, and that was a, you know, you can definitely tell. You know, we missed him. You know, the impact of not having him was there. I think he'll get a shot. You know, I think pre-injury, let's say he never got injured, hypothetically, I think we'd all be a lot, more optimistic of him going in the sixth to seventh round. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know where that is right now, just with the injury. I know I saw him today. He looks good. You know, him and Pick, they're getting ready for pro day, and they're doing things to play at the next level. They both look great. They're both running around great. I think they both have a shot. I think someone's going to get a Derek Snell. You know, I think they're going to get him, and they're going to give him an opportunity, and I think they're going to go, whoa. This dude does some freaky things with the football. He's 6'2", 240 pounds. He's explosive. He can run. He's got great ball skills. He's a willing combatant in the run game. So I do. I think he's an NFL player. I'm excited to see kind of what happens. And I know that someone's going to get a good football player.
I mean, I totally agree with that. I think he's a guy who could have a decent career, carves himself out a career, just doing lots of different things for maybe a couple handful of teams and stick around and make a good little NFL career. I think he's that kind of guy for sure. Let's see. Where do you want to move on to, Foley? Do you want to talk a little bit about the offensive line? I know we got some questions in there.
Yeah, we could hit on that and quarterbacks.
We could save the quarterbacks for kind of the end, maybe. A little juicy talk. We could talk about natural progression from tight ends to offensive line. Let's see what we got here. Despite losing, Rush and Omar, the Cats still seem to have a ton of talent on the offensive line, which was aided yesterday by the signing of Dylan Rollins. Nice job, staff, getting that guy over here. Pretty happy. Absolutely. Over here, Bobcat Nation. That's pretty exciting. A little surprise there. But it all starts there, right? Or how much do you lean on the offensive line to kind of set the tone for the offense that you're looking to implement or, run at Montana State?
The offensive line, they drive the bus. We're gonna go as far as those guys take us. People say it, but it's the truth. I think with our room, we did lose some guys, but that says one thing. We've lost some O linemen consistently since we've been here. That's just because we're recruiting and developing the right way. But even with that being said, we still have projected, a lot of banked reps from there. You got Perk, who has played a lot of football for us, a ton of football for us. He'll be a senior, and he's a super intelligent guy who can, get the right looks, get the right point, and communicate on both sides of the ball. Obviously, our two guards, you have JT Reed back. You have Cole Sain back, who was hurt last year, will be back. You got Marcus Ware, who is an All-American type of player. You have Connor Moore, who's an All-American type of player from Ohio. I just got to mention that Ohio kid. you got a lot of good guys. And, they are unbelievably smart. They are super passionate. They love playing for each other, and they care about it. And they understand we are only going to go as far as those dudes are going to take us, and everybody sees, hey, well, you guys are the number one rush team in the country. If you take away triple option or whatever, and you average, 6.7, 8 yards a carry. Yeah, that's all. But that's because, hey, we have really good players, and that offensive line takes pride. The Don Joy Mafia, baby, they take pride in doing some of that. And I tell you, Coach Johnson, our offensive line coach, does a great job. The guy played in the NFL. He played at Wisconsin. So he brings a lot of knowledge, offensive line play. And it's a good partnership between them. And that's what it is between our Coach Johnson and the offensive line. And there's a lot of guys in there. Titan from Idaho, it'll be a big spring for him. Have said from Cedric Jefferson from, the IE Southern California, and Burke Mastel, and Zeke is just signed with us. So we got a lot of guys in that room that have played a lot of ball, that are continue to play a lot of ball, and that are going to keep taking us where we need to go.
Yeah, Coach Johnson's done a heck of a job with that crew. I was a little worried when Coach Army left because he was such a stalwart in the program. It just seems like Montana State is just leading the way with the offensive line. But we'd be remiss about talking about the offense if we didn't mention Tommy Mellott. He's going to be a senior. Got new quarterbacks coach Chucky Keaton coming over. Just a little bit on what do you expect from Tommy this year and kind of out of the quarterback system? I know probably a lot of people are wondering if we're going to continue running a two quarterback system or will it be more of a Mellott show. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I've been with Tommy, you know, I've been fortunate that ever since I've been here, you know, I've been here every year he's played. This will be his fourth year as a senior, and I've seen every game that he's played here, and I have a good relationship with Tommy. So I think Mr. Mellott, he is one of the most competitive human beings that I've ever been around. I know he loves the state of Montana. He loves the Montana State Bobcats, and he is going to do whatever he can to make sure that he's putting us in the best situation on Saturdays to win football games. And I mean that he is unlike anybody I have ever been around. And it's contagious. It's contagious to our guys, the rest of the quarterbacks in the room, but it's also contagious to the rest of the offense and the team. And I think Tommy, you know, he's going to do anything he can, everything he can. So I expect, you know, him to have another, you know, a solid year. He's developed, you know, from that first year in 21 where he played sparingly until, you know, the playoffs, and then 22 and then last year. And so this year, you know, it's going to be Tommy's, you know, job. As we know, there's not a Sean Chambers isn't here anymore. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion, obviously, who's starting, who's playing, how many rips is Tommy getting, what's Sean getting. You know, with that, you know, we were able to utilize a lot of that two quarterback stuff. And again, if you don't have the players to do that, you can't do it. And I think, you know, to say that we won't dabble in that world, we could, but we looked at a lot of those things that we were doing. It was the same thing that we would do with, you know, a Lance McCutcheon or a Willie Patterson. You know, everyone knew when we were doing it, I hate to talk about the Bison game, but when Tommy came in with a two quarter, like the whole stadium went nuts because they knew we were getting ready to do something with two quarterbacks and Sean and Tommy in the game. So it's our offense. It really is. You know, it wasn't like we had, you know, a bunch of random gimmicky plays that were executed for just those two. Those plays could have been ran out of base sets. It just gives, again, it gives people things to think about. It gives people, like, hey, gets their eyes off of where they're supposed to be. So, you know, I don't know, you know, if that game plan calls for something, would we do it? We'll do whatever we need to do that we feel is going to put our guys in a great situation. And if that happens to be it, then it might be, you know, going with Tommy. Obviously he's super, super well documented about him, but in that room, you know, Jordan Reed, you know, played some reps last year. He's a longer 6'6", 220 pound, you know, people say pocket, but man, he moves well. He does some things. The ball is about as pretty as it gets when it leaves his hands. So he's a talented passer that has the ability to run and be dangerous. He's a smart football player. So he's definitely going, it's going to be a big spring for him. He's definitely going to help us out. He's going to play a lot of football here. He is, because he can do some things, you know, with the ball in his hands, and he can throw the football. And so we feel good about him. You know, Chance Wilson, he's a 6'1", 200 pounder from Oklahoma. So the guy can straight run. That boy can run. So he didn't, you know, play, but not because he wasn't able to, just we didn't obviously need him. But he's going to have a big spring. He falls more into putting people in slots. I would say he falls in the Tommy category, but I think they're different players. But Chance is a guy that's going to play for us down the road here. He's going to play some ball here. Patrick Duchesne, he's a Montana kid. He's a thicker dude now. He's 6'2", 220 pounds. So he is a bigger looking Tommy. So the room's deep, the room is deep and there's a lot of potential in there. And with Coach Chucky Keaton coming on board, I think, with his past experience of playing the position at a high level, he can relate with those guys in that room. And I think, some people, offense coordinators are the quarterback coach, offensive coordinators, this. I think having a guy that his sole responsibility is to obviously help implement and help us in the offense, which he is. Chucky's a great offensive mind. He's going to help us tremendously, offensive game planning. But he doesn't have to go into Saturdays worrying about calling plays. His job is to coach the quarterbacks. And I think, not saying that, it can't be done the other way, because obviously it gets done that way a lot. But I think our guys, I think they're looking forward to, having a guy who their sole responsibility is them. From a fundamental standpoint, to a coaching standpoint, to a past experience standpoint, to be able to relate. So, we're excited with that room. We're super excited. Anytime you have four and, Julius Davis in the running back room coming back, and you got some tight ends, you got some offensive linemen in the receivers room with Ty and Junior and Taco and Tremble and all those guys coming back. We got a lot of weapons. I know that. We got a lot of things that give other teams, lose sleep at night. I can tell you that. So, overall, we're super excited. We ended up not where we wanted to be. But like I talked with our guys, we finished 8-4. That's the facts. We did. We lost three football games, within the last minute and 30 seconds, one play here, one play there. And as we're talking totally different. But at the end of the day, that's irrelevant. We lost a football game. So we got to find those inches that we lost. And we talk about all the time, you find those inches right now. You're just not going to wake up on a Saturday in the fall in Moscow, Idaho, and find an inch and move it in our direction. We got to find those inches and move them now, because the margin of error at this level, with where we're trying to be and playing meaningful football games in December and January, you got to find those inches now. And that's what we're doing. Our guys have been out there rocking and rolling. So, we're about 5-6 weeks away from spring ball. So we're looking March 19th. We start that. So, we're itching to get rolling.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. That's exciting stuff. Thanks for kind of walking us through a little bit of that quarterback stuff here. And we kind of touched on the running back room. We got some proven commodity back there. I think the Bobcat fans pretty much know what we got back there. Are there any other position battles on the offense that we should be looking forward to in spring ball? I know we got some wide receiver attrition, and Lonyada Alexander should be factoring in there. Am I assuming that's correct?
Yeah, I think that receiver room, I would say, we feel really good, and not that we haven't felt good about that room in years past. I just know everyone, year 2021 was, 86, Mr. McCutcheon making a lot of football plays. In these last couple, they haven't, quite seen what they saw that year. But I know I feel as good about this receivers room and Coach Udy than I have since I've been here. You have Junior Alexander, you have Ty McCullough and Taco and Tremble and Marquis. You have Aiden Garrigan, who's played some snaps for us. So there's a lot of guys in there that are going to compete. And it's not so much that who's the starter, who's not the starter. There's at any time we could have four receivers out there. We could have two, we could have one, we could have three. but everyone's going to play. We need guys playing reps. You know, they all kind of do a little bit different. Ty, he can go now, that guy. And as you guys saw last year, McCauley, he can run. And he's going to continue to do that. Taco, he can run. Trimble, he can run. Marquis Johnson, he can run. Junior's a little bigger. Javonte King, from Idaho, he's going to help us. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a long joker, man. He can go get the pill. So he's going to help us. Christian Anaya is going to help us. We got some guys that, you know, Tommy is going to, you know, feel comfortable throwing the football to. You know, people ask all the time, well, this offense can't throw the football. No, that's not the case. We can throw the football. But when you rush for 400 yards in a game, you know, it's kind of changes when you want to call those plays. So it kind of varies, you know. And it's okay because Tommy can do anything in the passing game, and we have receivers that can do anything in the passing game. Some games are going to dictate that we throw the football a little more. Some are going to dictate where we don't need to. So, you know, super, super excited about that room. I can't explain enough how people, you guys are going to see, like, whoa, there's some dudes in that room that can do some special things. And we got a few freshmen that are going to come in and help us too. So the receiver room is great. And as you mentioned, that running back room, man, there's guys in there that can go, you know, Julius and Scott Trey, you know, had a few plays last year, and Jared White showed up, and Adam Jones showed up, and Elliott showed up. So there's a lot of dudes who are going to continue to touch the football. So yeah, I would say that our job as an offensive staff is, let's find ways to put those dudes in great situations, get the hell out of the way, and let them go play.
Getting me excited over here. Jeez.
You got yourself a good problem there, Tyler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, I got one more question for me. I know we're getting close to wrapping this up. It's kind of a more of a difficult question when I wrote this. I was reflecting on the times Montana State kind of came up short last year, Idaho, U of M, NDSU, and I just kind of want to know, like, what do you take from those kind of games? What do you learn from that? And then how do you move forward in reflection of that?
Yeah, you know, there were, you know, I will say that in these last past three years, you know, there's games that stick out to me that you know, I just have an unsettling feeling. And you mentioned the game in Moscow. That one was a tough pill, because it wasn't anything, you know, and this is not going to, not disrespect to Eck and the Vandals. They didn't do anything other than being there to really shut us down. We got in our own way. And I think, you know, it's to blame it on one thing or to say that in that game in particular, that the players weren't executing or the coaches weren't executing. You know, at the end of the day, that was our, as an offense, we couldn't convert first downs. We couldn't hold onto the football. Defensively, we couldn't get them off the field. So when you say you want to play complementary football in all three phases, that's what you want to do. And then that example there is an example of us not doing that. So I always think, I think as a coaching staff, we can continue to find ways to put our guys in situations early on to get rolling, especially when you're going into a hostile environment. Like, you know, that was the first time I've ever been in the old Kibbe Dome. And I think we can continue to find ways to put them dudes in better situations. Obviously, we didn't do a great job as a coaching staff offensively that day. You know, you think about other games, you know, the other three games that we lost, you know, the South Dakota State game. We had the back-to-back national champs. Quite frankly, we had them beat. We were in the red zone. We're on the goal line. We can't punch it in. We have Derek Snell. I love him. We're jumping offside. So now we're backing up 5 yards. Now it's third and six. So we had opportunities, and those are the inches I'm talking about. That right there, we are an inch here from beating the Jackrabbits in Brookings second week of the season. So But that doesn't, you know, and everyone wants to talk about the last play with CTN. You know, it shouldn't even have got to that point. I know that happened. But we should have taken care of business. It wasn't just that one play. You don't lose or win football games on one play. Normally it's, you know, there's other situations where you could have capitalized. And then over the hill, you know, at the end of the day, the goal here is to, you know, beat the Grizz, you know, win the Big Sky, and compete for national championships. And we didn't get that done. We just didn't. We went over there and we just didn't get it done, you know. And again, we couldn't get off the football field defensively, and we couldn't stay on the field offensively. And, you know, and they executed and we didn't. So we have to take those situations and swallow our pride. And as painful it is to watch some of those football games, we got to fix the issue. We got to find the issue, and we got to fix the issue. And simply saying that the players didn't execute, that's not the answer, because they might have not executed certain plays, but as a coaching staff, I know we didn't execute certain situations. So it's collective. It's collective. And then, you know, you go to the North Dakota State, and, you know, we had them beat. And again, you know, we had the lead with you know, under right around 2 minutes to go in the football game, and we go to overtime, and we get a field goal. We get a PAT blocked. So it's tough. It is. You know, those are gut-wrenching losses, especially when the expectations here are so high and the standard is so high. You know, you ask anybody, you know, what the goal is, and if the words Frisco, Texas didn't come out of their mouth, then I don't know what they're talking about, because that is the ultimate goal. You know, but I think we, as a program, as a staff, as our players, we've done a great job of, listen, here's the facts. You know, we lost these football games, you know, based off of this, that, or the other. You can dissect it however you want. But at the end of the day, we got to keep taking care of the right now. You know, we're going to be where our feet are. We're going to take care of today. We're going to be 1-0 today, and we're going to move on tomorrow. Because if we keep taking care of every single thing that we're supposed to do, and we keep finding the inches that we're supposed to find, winning championships, beating the Grizz, and being a Frisco is going to be a byproduct of everything we do from here on out. So, you know, and we've learned, and we're going to continue to learn, and we're going to continue to develop, because, you know, I tell the guys all the time, the standard's the standard. Embrace the chaos. It's going to come each and every day. That is a fact. You know, there's, you know, situations, there's not necessarily problems, and you're going to have a situation each and every day. So we're going to figure out how to solve it. We're going to win the day, and we're going to move on. So, you know, those are tough losses. The most we've ever had in a year, but hey, at the end of the day, we're not shying away from it. We didn't get it done. And we're going to make sure that we, you know, don't let those things happen again.
Well, as we head towards spring ball starting up here pretty soon, here's to 2024 season of finding those inches then, huh?
That's right. We're going to find them and move them, babe. We're going to find them and move them.
That's right. I love to hear it. We'll get you out of here. I know. Thank you for your time. We're going to be appreciative of your time here and aware. I have a very important question to end this interview on, though. Probably the most important question we've asked this entire podcast. You call in plays from the booth or of the sideline?
I will probably be in the booth. I will probably be in the booth. You know, obviously Coach Vegan, he's, you know, he's caught a lot of football plays in his day. So I lean on him, and, from a overall perspective, you know, I feel like you could see a lot of things, from the booth that you can't see on the field. I would say, you know, if you're coaching the quarterbacks, like, Coach Housewright was, you know, there is a part of it that you want to talk to your guys, but Coach Chucky Keaton will be down there talking to the quarterbacks in person, as I will be also, just on a headset. So I would say, if I was a betting man, I would say probably the booth, if I had to answer that right now. But, you know, that's probably where you will, which I'm comfortable. I've been there. That's where I've been. So.
All right. Tyler, man, that was straight fire. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm sitting over here just ready to run through a wall, man. You got me juiced. I can't wait for Bobcat football. Hey, man, I just want to say just thanks for the time and just candidness with us. I know the listeners are just going to eat this up. And, man, just excited for you. I really am. And good luck this season.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys' support and everything you do for the Cats. I know our guys, you know, they know that we got a lot of support. We got a lot of people like you guys out there, and that's what helps us, you know, show up every day and want to get rock and roll, because we know those Saturdays mean a lot to a lot of people across the state, and as I've learned, it's a giant state. So we appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you guys out there at old Bobcat Stadium in time. So I appreciate it, and take care.
All right. Thanks, Coach, and go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.